Have you ever wondered what death doulas talk about when they get together? This podcast is offered to you by the Death Doula Ontario Network. As doulas gather to talk about all things related to death, dying, and grief. I, Olga Nikolaev, am the founder and director of the Death Doula Ontario Network, and I gather all of our members around the Zoom table to share in our powerful personal and professional experiences with end-of-life care. Death Doula Chats are our stories about our experiences with offering and providing end-of-life care support in our communities. We hope and pray that our words have a healing impact on your own experience and assist you in learning about death doulas and end-of-life care support. The network's mission is to gather death doulas across Ontario and beyond and serve as the educational and business collaborative community of practice. The network's vision is to increase public knowledge and death literacy, enhance end-of-life care skills, and provide up-to-date end-of-life care resources and information. In addition, the Death Doula Ontario Network is part of a global movement, a world mission to better educate, advocate, and empower everyone in their end-of-life journey. So, what motivated me to become an end-of-life or death doula? Well, I can recall in my own life experience having had a number of experiences with death and dying, grief and loss. I think my initial interest in end-of-life care support from a doula perspective came out of my experiences as a registered nurse and as a community care nurse offering end-of-life care support. I recognized and realized that my nursing background and training was limited in understanding the holistic and relational care that is oftentimes needed at the end of life. And so I began my journey to investigate and learn about different practices, cross-cultural, different perspectives, as well as look at the emerging social movements that we're gathering, specifically in the Western world, related to end-of-life doulas or death doulas. Now, for many of you, you may or may not know, the term doula really means someone who serves, someone who accompanies, and very similarly to the birth doula, who is a support person offering care and support, helping a family navigate the birthing process. Death doulas offer that form of navigation and support at the end of life. What I am most passionate about when it comes to end-of-life care support is really educating everyday folks in the care provision and building the confidence and competence within the family and both informal and formal caregivers so that end-of-life care can be more beautiful, that it can be more compassionate, and that it can be a process that does not necessarily need to be traumatic. Now, most end-of-life doulas work with client families very closely as a way of identifying their particular family dance and what is most important to them. So it really offers not a cookie cutter approach, but really encouraging families to better plan and better prepare themselves for end of life. Part of that is potentially having some real honest discussions with family members, with the person themselves who is at the end of life, or when a person who is diagnosed maybe with a terminal illness or a life-limiting illness. And it offers them an opportunity to reflect on their particular wishes, their particular options and choices, which are oftentimes governed by where they live and who is available to offer that support, both from a palliative care hospice perspective, but also from their community. The particular support that I offer is really more psychosocial and educational support. So I am very much invested in increasing the knowledge of all care providers who are offering this support. And so I focus primarily on offering some of that free education in discussions under the umbrella of death cafes, or also offering those within community during advanced care planning days, National Advanced Care Planning Days, which is in Canada, April 16th. And I also offer virtual and in-person sessions where I can help a family better identify their particular goals of care. Now, oftentimes I get a question as to how I best navigate, oftentimes, this work that can be very difficult. And so, how do I keep myself centered, or how do I take care of myself in order to reduce or minimize some of the negative impact of this work? And what I can tell you is that this is a lifelong journey that starts primarily with good self-care. So that means paying attention to my body, nurturing my body, nourishing my body with all of those basic necessities, good healthy food, having enough rest, getting some movement and exercise, which I'm still working on. It's an everyday process. The other part of my self-care is also mindfulness. And some way of assisting me to debrief maybe difficult cases. And so, one of the things that I find really helpful is belonging to a community of practice, belonging to a network where other people share in their similar struggles and challenges in offering this kind of care support. And so, as we gather together, we may spend some time debriefing. We may spend some time sharing our feelings, helping each other to maybe identify strategies, offer comfort, and hopefully offer some insight in how we can better support ourselves and each other so that we do not succumb to maybe compassionate fatigue or caregiver burden. Nature is also a really big part of my own self-care, and I think is something, a theme that is that I'm seeing through all of the caregiving different roles. There is something about being able to be out in nature, connecting to the natural world, to the trees, to the wind, to the water, to the elements, as including snow, including the sun, including the rain. And coming into an alignment with those natural cycles. And so I oftentimes find that walking my dogs with mindfulness, paying attention to my body and how it feels and how I can de-stress when I connect with nature, that to me has always been and hopefully will continue to be a really helpful way to combat some of that negative impact of this work. Now, I asked this question of other Death Doula Ontario Network members, and the question is around what do I see the future for end-of-life doulas? And so, potentially 5, 10 years from now, we may see the integration of end-of-life death doulas within our healthcare system. Maybe we will be able to see end-of-life doulas be part of the long-term care home, part of the retirement home, part of hospices, or even the hospital setting. I think that there is an opportunity, and I think that there is also a need to address some of the current gaps and challenges in end-of-life care support. And so you will hear from other doulas who may share their particular insights, their hopes for the future from their particular perspective. I am one of many, many folks who are offering also training for end-of-life doulas. And so I see and I hope that that will continue. I know that from my own professional experience, many folks who access these kind of training opportunities are also seeking information for themselves, seeking information for their own families and their own communities, even if they may not create a business and to serve in a more professional way as end-of-life doulas. So I really see the death doula movement to be part of knowledge translation, part of how we can collectively support and enhance the confidence and the competence of all people to be a bit more comfortable with end-of-life care support. So thank you so much for joining us on this very first episode of the Death Doula Chats, provided to you by the Death Doula Ontario Network. You can reach us at deathdoulaontarionetwork.ca, and you can reach me, Olga Nikolaev, specifically through that particular website or my own personal website, which is dyingmatters.ca. Thank you for spending the time with the Death Doula Ontario Network and our members, and we hope that you will return to listen to our collective stories on this Death Doula Chats podcast.